Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, April 25th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command. Have you heard of TDX? Listen, Orbital Command is putting together the Terra DAP Expo on June 9th and 10th in Austin, Texas. Not Boston. I know, that's what I thought. Austin. Austin, Texas. Come get doxxed IRL and share merriments with all of your favorite fellow lunatics and lunatics. For more information, go to terradapexpo.com or hit the menu item on the site right here on terraspaces.org. And as always, be sure to check out Orbital Command online at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For more information, check out terraspaces.org/sponsors. Today on The Ether, the One Planet Roundtable number 12. Let's take a listen.
Good morning there, or good afternoon.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you.
Great. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Yeah, doing good. Looking forward to hearing more about what you guys have going on with your projects.
Cool, cool.
So we're just waiting for the Meta Builders team to join us here. By the way, I wanted to say MonsterDAO, you guys have been doing a really good job with the threads that you've been making on Twitter. They've been interesting to read.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like, we're really working hard on the research aspect on NFTs. So we constantly want to share all the stuff around the research that we do to our followers on Twitter. So yeah, if you are not following us, guys, you're missing some alpha right there.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that initially attracted me to your project as well. That was something that you were going to be focusing on. So we have the Meta Builder team here. We'll get them up to join us, and then we'll get started. And Beach Dragon, that is a really cool dragon that you have there.
That is my personal dragon.
Ah, okay. So each one in the team gets their own personal one?
Well, so far, I'm the only one that's asked for one, but it was a bit of a joke. I tried to start this Ladies of Luna thing, and I only got like 6 women. So I said, oh, I want a pink dragon for myself. It was a bit of a joke. So they made me a pink dragon.
Well, I mean, it takes asking initially, right? Sometimes you can just push some buttons and we get what we want.
But each one of these are handcrafted, so it wasn't just push some buttons. Our NFTs are a little different, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you know, thank you for the compliment.
For sure, and I know that you're kind of sticking with that name, too, for future projects, and I love it, actually. I think we do need to figure out how we can continue to expand just the demographic of people that we have building on Terra.
Absolutely. Although I'm super impressed because I see that there's 3 women in the community that are here based on the profile pictures, which is so awesome. And I know that, the future of Luna and the Terra ecosystem, you know, we can't exclude 51% of the population and expect to make it. So,
right. Completely agree with that. I know that the Meta Builder team also has a few women I've seen, at least from their name, on their moderator team and taking care of their community there. So we'll see if we get Rhino here or Clea from their team. But I'm trying to get them up, but I can't. Meta Builder team, if you want to request, maybe that would help.
Also, sometimes people don't realize that they have to be on a mobile that Twitter Space only works from a mobile. So maybe the other team doesn't realize that and they're trying from their desktops. So you have to be on mobile and then request to speak.
That is very true.
Yep.
And that might be the case. So while we get them up here, we can get started with you guys, and we'll bring them up as soon as they fix that. But the way that the structure is going to be here is that we'll just have you introduce yourself, your project. We'll go around, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the questions that I prepared with you guys and that we talked about. And then at the end, we'll have the floor open for any of the community members here that want to join and ask you guys any questions in specific or have any comments. All right. So
sounds good.
Cool. So from the One Planet end, just for a few quick announcements, the first one is that we have the Mono collection for Department 77 live on the launch pad. And right now it's open for the whitelist members. And then we also have the playable MLB starter packs that are live as well. And so if anybody is still looking to get into those communities, you can go and check them out. So with that being said, let's get started. So MonsterDAO, I see you guys first in line here. So just a quick introduction into maybe yourself and then your project, and then we'll move on to Beach Dragon.
All right, perfect. Okay, so I'm Eliseo. I'm one of the co-founders of MonsterDAO. I'm here to represent the team. We're a team of five. So I have more than 7 years of experience in software engineering and product management. So I'm also the co-host of Terra Nuestra. It's a Spanish-speaking YouTube show about all things Terra. Also, we are on Twitter. So I'm an NFT investor since mid-2020. I guess I minted my first NFT on Terra with Galactic Punks. I guess it was in October or something like that. So meanwhile, I helped build like this private NFT-focused community along with some of my partners here at MonsterDAO. So this community got like into more than 100 members at some point. And we are all, and this community is all focused on doing on research on NFTs in multiple chains. And we collectively invest on them. So we had this sort of like chapters in this like community where some folks are focused on NFTs on Terra, some folks are focused on NFTs on Ethereum, some on Near, and stuff like that. So with this community, like we invested in a lot of projects, right? And it has been really, really successful for us. Like we have invested in projects like Pavia that did like 200x that was in Cardano. Well, of course, Galactic Punks for some members managed to do a 100x or more. And we had like a good number of 10x to 50x projects, right? So now with some of this with some guys of this community, like we started to notice, hey, this should become a DAO, right? Like this is the perfect model for a DAO, because when you build a community in internet, you need to trust people, right? And with a DAO model, you start trust. You remove that problem of trust, and you build a smart contract, right? To handle, for example, like this profit distribution on collective investments, for example. So we decided to build MonsterDAO. Basically, MonsterDAO is a collective NFT investments DAO. So the DAO will hold the treasury, and we are going to invest on NFTs on different chains based on the community vote. And in order to become a MonsterDAO member, you will need to hold a MonsterDAO NFT. I think that's like a quick introduction. I can expand a little bit more, but I guess that's like the main idea, and we can continue expanding more after the introduction. well, of Lubana. I don't know. What do you say?
Yeah, that's perfect. I so appreciate you sharing that. And I think that the way that your projects stem from, you know, you guys kind of getting together and experiencing that contribution, and then expanding that into a bigger project for other people to get involved, it's a cool way to start something. And yeah, with that, let's move on to Beach Dragon. If you want to introduce yourself, your role at Levana, please.
Sure. Thanks so much. Thanks for that great intro, MonsterDAO. So I'm Beach Dragon. My other name is Mimi, and I am VP Product at Levana. Levana stands for Leverage Any Asset, and we are a gamified DeFi protocol, essentially. We were the largest NFT mint ever on Terra. We minted 41,616 NFTs in a very revolutionary kind of mint, where the lowest price was 8 UST, and we had no whitelist, no shill, no spam. That was our policy from day one, and we've stuck to that until today. And our attitude was everybody should come and everybody should be a partner with us, and everybody can join the party. And you know, we set out to do something revolutionary and extraordinary. We created evolutionary NFTs. So the NFTs that we minted back in November were meteors from a meteor shower. And then those meteors crack open and either reveal a dragon egg or magical meteor dust. And then those NFTs further evolve. Obviously, the dragon eggs eventually become dragons. So we are just a few weeks away from the next evolution, which is going to be genetic modifications and then eventual baby dragon hatching. So you can see from my profile, you know, one of the baby dragons. And we also pioneered the first multiplayer game on the Terra blockchain. So right now we're in the middle of something called the Faction Wars. So within the community, we have about 11,000 people in our Discord. So within the community of our 8,888 dragon owners, we divided them up into four factions. And so those four factions are currently competing against one another in what's called the Faction Wars. And the goal of that is to explain to people more about Terra, to get them interested in understanding the fundamentals of Terra. And there's obviously rewards in the form of spirit level, which is part of our game, and then an eventual airdrop. So the winners of the Faction Wars will all get a share of that a prize bounty. So that's a little bit about Levana and about me personally. I've spent the last 20 years in product and tech, and previously owned a children's game and toy company. And Levana was sort of a natural progression for me because it marries two things that I love, which is gaming and gamification, and also the tech side of things. So, you know, I've worked in the Fortune 10 companies, and I've at the same time, you know, Levana is made up of a community of very committed sci-fi geeks and nerds. And together we've built this really cool gamification, essentially on top of the leverage products that we are building, you know, for a full DeFi experience. So that's a little bit about Levana. And you can find all of our collections now on One Planet. So we have five different collections, again, because of the evolution. So I know that's sometimes confusing for people that have a problem figuring out where to get started. So it's not a straightforward PFP. They do evolve, and there's things to do, and there's activities and games to play, et cetera. But we felt like that was the most logical way to develop a project that wasn't a pump and dump scheme, which we are very much not.
Amazing. Yeah, you guys are doing a lot. And just one question that I have there is, in order to do everything that you're doing, how big is your team so far?
So Levana is... 30, I want to say we're 35 full-time employees, and then another 25 consultants, or, you know, remote people around the table. So at this point, we're close to 60 people.
Got it.
But again, we have an entire NFT team, we have a game team, and then we have all the financial products and that whole dev team. So it's a huge product offering. You know, on a given day, I can go from looking at dragon designs and talking about dragon teeth and scales to, you know, talking about you know, how to get wrecked in a leverage position in perpetual swaps to, you know, the token generation event, and then, you know, to our LLI, to our leverage products. So there's a lot going on in Lavana. And then, you know, you have the whole faction wars and all that that's going on. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's so many different elements to the product and to the team, and everybody really brings a lot of depth and maturity from previous roles in all sorts of different places. You know, we've got animators from studios that I won't mention that are working on the game design and videos and, you know, dragon design and other things. So it's really fun. And it's really challenging also to continue to try to deliver what I think are the best NFTs across any blockchain, actually. I mean, if you look at the detail in the dragons that we drop, and I said to you before, you know, they have been handcrafted, and they are handcrafted, and they're totally different than anything else that you'll see. So that's really fun and exciting, and just, you know, to watch them evolve and think about how do you go from a baby dragon to then a dragon in training to, you know, building out avatars that are going to speak to people and they're going to want to play the eventual Lavana game. So that's it's challenging, but it's also really exciting. And I think that's, you know, the future, and we can see where the metaverse is heading. And I think we all want a visual experience that makes it really feel like this is like my baby dragon. You know, it's a real companion, and that's what we're trying to build.
Yeah. And I love the way that you put it a bit earlier, that you were able to marry just the different passions that you have and put them together here into producing everything that's going on with Lavana. So I think that's the opportunity that we get here with Web3, combining all of these different technologies. But thank you for sharing that. I really feel the passion coming from you, so I appreciate that. Let's go with MetaBuilder. I think this is Rhino. So if you don't mind introducing yourself and introducing your project, please.
Yeah, of course. Can you hear me? Is it working well?
Yeah, we got you here.
Okay. Perfect. Well, first of all, sorry for the you know, the little trouble. I didn't know actually you couldn't use a Twitter Space on the computer. So I remember like someone made a comment about it. So thank you, because I didn't know that. I was trying. Talking on my own wasn't working so well. But anyway,
no worries.
So yeah, so my name is Rhino. I'm one of the co-founder of the project MetaBuilder. So we are a team of three people. We started this project about, I think, 5 months ago already. We're going to be minting in 2 days. So it will be our first collection, which is called the Voxa collection. We're going to be minting 2,496 NFTs. They are all made in voxel art. So maybe for the ones who don't know what is voxel art, basically, it's like pixel art, but 3D. It started in the 90s, but it got very popular. I think it was like a couple years ago with the game Minecraft. Maybe some of you played that game. And also there is a big metaverse that is being built on voxel art, which is called the Sandbox game. And so in the team, so there is me, Rhino. We also have Clay, which I think you were talking earlier about a woman in the Terra ecosystem. We have more girls in the team than we have guys. When I'm talking about the team, I include the mod staff. I think we have something like 60 or 70% of women in the team. So there is Clay. I think she's listening to this Twitter space. I saw her profile. And we also have the artist. His name is Blender. He's a professional 3D artist and a voxel artist.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I know that you guys are going to be the first voxel project in Terra. So it's going to be exciting just to see how the Terra community interacts with you guys. And we'll dive a little bit deeper into
sure.
What that experience has been so far. working and building up your community. But thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
With that, with the introductions done, we'll dive a little bit deeper into some questions. And the first one that I have for MonsterDAO, as we hear, you know, from MetaBuilder and from BeachDragon and Lavana, you know, that there needs to be a good amount of team members in order to be able to produce a lot of the roadmap that each project has. So I'm curious in regard to who is behind the MonsterDAO project. And I know you mentioned a little bit about your background, but wanted to see if you can share a little bit more about who else is there.
Sure, we'd love to do that. So first of all, we have our 3D artist, our rock star, Gritar, who is in the audience. He also works for Sandyswap, doing 3D designs. So that it's a very successful Dex on Cardano. There he is. So then we have Hero, who is an NFT gen. He's very knowledgeable on NFTs. He's also an early investor in NFTs. Then we have Noah, who is like the real OG on the Bitcoin and Ethereum space. Then we have Mr. J, who is very knowledgeable on business side of things. He runs a software agency. So basically we're five. Then we have me, Aliceo, Hero, Gritar, Agustin, and Noah. So yeah, that's the team. That's the team. And we are expanding right now. We have hired folks for mod and stuff and community management, so to help us on that side. But yeah, we are like been working like 7 days a week, right? The DeFi space never stops, and all the opportunities that we could have with MonsterDAO, it's like really amazing that, like, to see all the community getting together and all the ideas that are coming up. So yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, and how has that process been for you guys as a team, being able to integrate yourself with the Terra community and bringing them in into a more intimate area into your Discord server?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So some of us are very I could say like micro influencers in the Latin America space and Terra community. So we have a lot of support there from the Spanish speaking community. So like the first followers became from that side, we have a really strong presence. But we have been struggling a bit on the English speaking community to get some traction. But we're starting to see, like, after all this research that we are showing and tweeting about, and on our Twitter, we start to gain more and more and more followers from the English speaking community. So that's really great. We have also folks that are following us from Asia. That's really interesting to see, India, and that's really good. It was like very difficult at first to get that traction, but now we're on wheels right now. So we're at full steam, and the future is bright. So yeah, that's
amazing. and I do think that there is a huge community of lunaticos, as they are called, and that's good that you were able to kind of get a good grassroots from there initially. But let's move on with BeachDragon. So we have another question here for you, and since you guys were one of the first NFT projects in Terra, I wanted to see if we can get some thoughts in regard to the whole ecosystem. So in general, what are your thoughts of the future of NFTs? And then you can dive a little bit deeper into the Terra NFT ecosystem in specific.
Sure. So I think that NFTs are going through a pretty natural cycle right now. And this is, really cross-chain. It's not just about Terra NFTs, where you know, you had the initial projects and there was a lot of excitement. So obviously the market pumped. And then, you know, there was a huge pullback. And then there was a surge forward when the, you know, when the price of Luna surged. And now I think there's both price discovery and also utility discovery. And so, you know, projects that are solely art-based are going to probably have their place, but it's going to take a little bit longer for them to find themselves, I feel like, whereas projects that have more utility or, you know, metaverse purpose or have longevity to them, or again, evolutions like we've designed, I think will continue to grow and retain value. So I think you're going to see that the leaders of the pack are going to separate away a bit. And I think you do see that anyway. Now, if you look at, you know, sales over the last 3 months or even 6 months, you know, you can see really who the consistent leaders are in the space. And all of those projects have evolutions, or they have plans for the future or metaverse plans, et cetera. And it's not just a PFP that's going to serve as your avatar, because I think people recognize that there has to be something else behind it, that the artwork is really nice, but most likely in terms of the Terra ecosystem, I don't think you're going to see the same kinds of I'm not going to call them crazy, but astronomical valuations and profits that you saw across other chains. And I think that that's somewhat slowed down anyway. And so in the Terra ecosystem, I see a lot of converging of projects. I see where we have the opportunity and invited members of other communities to join us in our faction wars, which was really fun. We actually minted and sort of airdropped to members of Lunables, or, you know, owners of Lunables, to Styler and to Galactic Punks. Actually, they all received essentially invitations to join us in the faction wars. So they all received talismans for different factions, and they were unique to those communities. And we've had a lot of fun. I think we've had about 1,000 people, 1,000 wallets that got those airdropped talisman ended up joining us in the faction wars. And it's been really fun to see, you know, the communities converge and to talk about, you know, how would it work? Like, could your Galactic Punk ride a dragon in the Levana, the eventual big Levana game? And so I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see some natural, I can't think of the word now in English, not collapsing, but like, convergence, where, you know, projects that have like a natural affinity for one another will sort of form together. And I think that also sometimes happens when you have, you know, much smaller teams where they might mint and then, take an opportunity to take some cash off the table. But then the teams are so small that they can't move forward, because if a founder left, or if your main artist left and you only had one, it's really hard then to continue on. And so I think that we will see some changes and some shifting in the market, but I think that NFTs are here to stay. And I also think that, you know, we're going to find new utility for them, and that because of just their structure and the way that they exist and are so valuable and useful, that we'll find also new uses for them that we haven't thought of yet. You know, people said to us back in August, like, you can't make evolutionary NFTs. That's not possible. So, you know, here we are on evolution 3, about to turn to evolution 4 of our NFTs. It is possible. You have to, you know, get somewhat creative with the contracts. But even within the standard that existed in August, it was possible to do. We just had to think creatively how to do it. So I think there are even more possibilities that we haven't thought of yet. And I'm excited to see what other people bring to market.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think from the One Planet side, that was one of the reasons we wanted to create the assemble disassemble feature as well, so we can plant that seed on creators and NFT projects that are coming up, so then they can build a project with that initial utility, and then that way they can, like, kind of like what you're saying, be able to create some kind of evolution out of that mechanism. But I do think that that is important to be able to continue to provide just kind of a different roadmap for your community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, you know, there's always that danger, right? Where people are like, well, if you allow for modifications, then that means that you could wipe me out, right? Like the PFP that I love today could just be a black box tomorrow. So that's very scary. But at the same time, if you don't allow for any modifications, you really limit the possibilities of what can happen, I think, to that NFT. You know, it obviously will stay a non-fungible token, but, you know, what you can do with it and what you allow the creators to do with it is somewhat limited. So I do think that the modification is really critical. But again, it has to be with a team that you trust and with a project that you love, because obviously, you know, it could all go really pear-shaped if that doesn't work out correctly. So it just has to be done with a lot of forethought and with a lot of planning and design, you know, like with really good design forward thinking. And then I think it's, you know, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that. Let's go back with Meta Builder. So one question that I have here for you, as we've mentioned, your design, your art around voxels is going to be the first one here in Terra. So I'm curious as to why you guys chose to pursue that design. And then also, how do you guys come up with the actual, like, one of ones that you do?
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, so basically, so you have to know that basically the team, you know, we've been, we know each other for many years. And the 3D artist Blender has been my friend for, I think, about 8 years. He's been designing voxel art for, I think it started like 2 years ago, when he played Minecraft. And so it was a pretty obvious choice to us, you know, to go for voxel art. The thing about voxel art is that it's actually quite difficult. That's why you have very few collection. Well, you have no collection on the Terra ecosystem. But even if you look at the, you know, the NFT ecosystem as a whole, if you go on Ethereum and other chain, you're not gonna find a lot of voxel collection, because actually it's very I will say technical. To create this kind of collection, it doesn't seem like that when you look at the art, because it's you know, you might think that it is simple, but actually that's why it's very difficult, because you don't have you know, a lot of tools, and so you have to be very smart on how you use it. It's kind of the same with the pixel art, you know, like there is a shortcut, like people think that, you know, it's easy to make pixel pixel art, but actually it's quite the opposite. It's very difficult, because you have to tell a lot of things with the very few and only cubes, so that's quite difficult. And also the great thing about voxel art is that it's very easy to integrate voxel art in different environments, so metaverses, game, movies, you name it. And that's also why we wanted to go for this kind of art. And so how did we come up with the, you know, all the, so you were talking about the 1-1, is it right?
Yeah, just in general, I know that you guys do a lot of collaborations with different NFT projects, and you do 1-on-ones for them. I know you involve your community as well in different designs. So I'm just curious about the process of that.
Yeah, well, for us, it was very important, you know, to involve the community from the start, because actually the word voxa, it's a Latin word, and it's mean voice, right? And basically the whole concept behind it was to basically give voices to the people. And so right from the start, you know, we wanted to involve communities, NFT project, and yeah, we came out with this, I think, a very unique way to do collaboration, and that was the 1-on-1 NFT. So basically, maybe for the people who don't know, right from the start, we basically created custom Voxa from all the major NFT projects on Terra, so Luna Bulls, Skeleton Punks, and a lot more, and yeah, and so, and also, you know, about the collection in general, basically, it's all coming from the 3D artist mind. I know he's very passionate about, fashion. So if you look closely at the Voxa, you will see some items that, you know, are kind of like derivative from, I'm thinking, for example, Balenciaga. You know, there are some shoes that, you know, kind of look like the triple S shoes. A lot of items from the pop culture and from the Web3 culture. It's kind of a mix of everything.
Got it. Yeah, that is really cool. I think in being able to integrate just that those new trendy, let's say, cultural and like artistic ways that people represent themselves in the physical world, right, in real life, and then kind of bringing them into the 3D world.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good.
And also it you know, the I think what is very important and what we are really trying with the Voxa collection and, you know, the Mecha collection that will be coming after is to make it brandable in a way. You know, you really want people to connect with their avatars. And also, you know, I can give you actually all our NFT, the name of the NFT are not going to be numbers. They are going to be names or nicknames. And again, you know, that's kind of the idea that, you really want people to connect on a deeper level with their PFP and to really, see themselves through it, because all these designs that we are creating are going to be usable in the metaverse. You have to know that all the Voxa are being created in 3D, and they are also fully rigged from a professional 3D designer. So they are already, you know, usable in different environments. We got collaboration with a lot of metaverses project from the Terra ecosystem, and there, you know, we tweeted a lot of video where you can see the Voxa moving around, and so
awesome. Well, that's going to be exciting to be able to use the voxel as well, like you're saying, in the metaverse. So definitely looking forward to that. Let's go with MonsterDAO. One more question for you, and I'm curious about what's going to make your project different, right? So what problem are you trying to solve with MonsterDAO, and why do you guys think it matters to be able to create that here in Terra?
Sure, great question. So basically, MonsterDAO wants to help mostly three types of people, right? So first, we have the person that doesn't have the knowledge on how to spot the blue chip NFTs. Then in second place, we have like the person who doesn't have the money to buy blue chip NFTs, like the Bored Apes or Galactic Banks or Levana NFTs. Then the third one, it's the person that may have the money and may have the knowledge, but doesn't have the time to do the research on those NFTs. So, and for these kind of people, it's very interesting to have a community and a DAO, which you're going to do community investments. So you for example, so our first collection that is going to be like the Genesis monster collection, it's going to be 4,447 NFTs, and it's going to cost 300 USD. So with 300 USD, you may be able to access like a percentage of the ownership of a Bored Ape if the community decides to invest in a Bored Ape, right? So if we sold out, we are going to have in the DAO treasury around 700K USD to invest in different projects, in different NFT projects, multi-chain, right? So we can buy a lot of Galactic Punks, we can buy a Bored Ape or whatever the community decides to invest. It's basically, I think the word is like democratizing the access to blue chip NFTs, right? So everyone can enter. No need you to have like that time to do research. You don't need to have like that amount of money that takes to buy a blue chip NFT. So it's basically leveraging on the community dedication, the community knowledge. Also, we have here like the like the founder's experience, right? On how we organize an NFT focused community. And that's why we're confident this is going to be a huge success, right? And yeah, basically we think that this problem is important to solve because we want to share more opportunities for the people. Like there is a lot of people that are overwhelmed by the amount of information that crypto requires, and one piece is NFTs, right? So you cannot be like all the time in all the places. So here's a community that you can leverage on and just buy a MonsterDAO and collectively invest, right? So yeah, and also one more thing that it's really important when you do investments, it's actually when you do a collective investment and that investment goes well, the joy is multiplied, right? And the sadness, if that investments go wrong, is divided. So that's another important piece of collective investments. And that's why we want to bring that to Terra.
Got it. Yeah, I like it. I'll just keep it that simple. I know I've experienced just galactic punks getting away from me, but I've been able to get with a group of people within Terra and been able to like together get one. And so that feeling of at least having a portion of something, I think it's cool. And then to have like your friends there with you and share some of that knowledge and that connection of owning something together, I think it's something that we kind of bring from the in real world perspective, right? Like hanging out and like just going to an event, for example. At least that's the feeling that I got from being able to have a galactic punk with some friends. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm definitely excited to see the continued growth of your project and the research that you guys have been sharing on Twitter so far. I think has been great, just being able to educate the community and bringing some of that attention to your project. It's going to be cool. So let's go with Beach Dragon. We got one more question here for you. And if there's anybody that has any questions from the listeners here, yes, can definitely request and we'll bring you up here. But the next question for you is in regard to what do you think is important when looking at or evaluating an NFT project?
So that's a great question. I just I was in my community Discord for a second, and somebody just mentioned that they were trying to use One Planet Search for Dust, and the server returned an error. So there are already people searching on One Planet. So I know that our collections are really large, and sometimes that can be intimidating. So I want to tie that into the answer of, you know, the question that you just asked is, you know, what do you look for and how do you evaluate? So I think there's a few things that people should be, you know, cognizant of before they ape into any project. And the first one is always do your own research. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in the joy. And I appreciate MonsterDAO so much, you know, that when there's a community of joy that you're spreading around, that's awesome. And the feelings are excellent. But then there's also that fear of like, you know, the pump and dump is alive and well. And, you know, I would never want to encourage anyone to just jump into a project or ape in, as they say, and then not understand the fundamentals behind it or the project behind it. So I always tell people, you know, imagine that it's like the $5 that your grandmother gave you, you know, for your fifth birthday. And it's like all the money that you have. So would you spend it on this? Yes or no? And I think before you do that, so then you have to really look at the fundamentals, at the team, join the Discord, you know, see the conversation. Everybody wants to get on a whitelist, and everybody wants to get something that's super rare, and everybody wants to make, you know, a ridiculous amount of money flipping NFTs. But at the end of the day, you could also end up being the person that's holding an NFT that has no value. And so, you know, before always assuming that you're going to be on the right side, you want to also look at like, you know, why is this a fundamentally good project, and what are they offering, and what's the utility, and what's you know, the long tail of this project, and who are the founders, and what else have they done, and what else have they built, and what have they delivered, and, you know, what's their history? So the art can be really flashy, and it can be super sexy, and it can be really attractive. But I think if you look at the fundamentals and you see, you know, what's behind it, that you really can't go wrong. And I think if you look at the, you know, the early projects on Terra, and you see, you know, what the promises were and what the deliveries were, then that's a pretty good indicator of, you know, the projects, like I said before, that are now considered the blue chip Terra projects, you know, they've consistently delivered And there's other projects that launched at the same time that we launched and, you know, have gone to the floor and are now worth not even a tenth of what they were worth. And so I think it's, you know, look for the teams that are under promising and over delivering rather than the opposite. And the minute that you see, you know, shill and spam and you have to retweet or join a whitelist in order to, you know, to get access or get anything, those are the ones that I run far away from, because I'm not really sure if the project creators are there just to make a lot of money for themselves or they're there because they're trying to build community and build something for everybody else.
Got it. Yeah.
And that's a super, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but it's the only one I have. So there it is.
I think that was perfect to follow up to what Monster DAO was saying, right? Because I think that it does take a lot of time and effort to be able to do your own research. And sometimes being able to have a group of people contribute to that knowledge and coming together to a decision, at the minimum, you can just say that a lot of energy was spent from different people. And kind of like he said, if you do end up getting rugged or something, it's not just your own fault. You had a group of people that spent time doing research, and hopefully that kind of mitigates that loss a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love the idea that it's, you know, spread the joy and mitigate the risk. Absolutely. So, you know, if you have the opportunity, you know, to join a group like MonsterDAO where you wouldn't, you know, take the loss all on yourself, if that was the case, then that is obviously always the best case. You know, I see a lot of people joining the Terra ecosystem every day. I think it's probably somewhere between, you know, 5,000 and 50,000 people get introduced to the Terra ecosystem every single day. And we see that also from the amount of new wallets that are opened. And I always just encourage people, you know, please do your own research. Don't ape into things. You know, there's nothing that's going to happen in one specific day that you can't like catch up on tomorrow. There's always money to be made, whether it's an up market or a down market. Like, there's always opportunity. There's never been a case where, you know, the world stopped trading, where things just stopped happening, where an opportunity that, you know, existed before didn't happen again. Like, I have been in crypto since 2011. I got goxed in 2012. You know, a lot of people have said like, wow, and you came back. And then I was early in ETH. You know, and then, but then I say to myself, okay, but I missed out on early Luna. Like, I didn't buy in at $6. I bought in around $20. And then I bought in again around $50. Like, and then I could, you know, I could kick myself 10 times over for that. But again, there's other opportunities, right? And then we just had a run to 118 and people were like, damn, I didn't buy in at 46. So there's always opportunities, whether it's down market or up market, there's always going to be opportunities. Don't feel like because you missed out on something and you took time to do some research that you've, you know, destroyed your whole financial future. People will continue to trade every day. The world has not stopped spinning. You always have opportunities. Take your time.
Yes, completely agree. Yeah, I do think that we sometimes feel like things are moving too fast and we need to act really quick in crypto. But yeah, taking a step back and being patient, I think it's the best answer there. So we have one more question here for the MetaBuilder team. And after that, we can start doing some closing remarks, unless anybody in the listeners have any questions. But what I wanted to ask the MetaBuilder team is in regard to just your community. So we talked a little bit about that so far over here, but I think from what I've experienced in your server has been just there's a lot of engagement and a lot of conversations. And I was curious as to how you guys were able to create that fun and positive environment. I definitely get a different vibe from there. Like, you guys are just having fun. There's a lot of memes going on compared to others that I've been with. It feels a little bit more professional.
Thanks a lot for the compliment. It's true that from the start, we always had kind of a lot of engagement, not only on Discord but also on Twitter. You know, if we go on our profile, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people liking, doing the retweet and comment. And again, we're not asking for it, but I think one of the reason why we have so much engagement, I think, was we really try to build a Discord, you know, a lively Discord with a lot of events. You know, there are always things happening on the MetaBuilder Discords, because, you know, the thing is that people, you know, they are usually on 20, 30, even more servers. And so you are kind of competing with each other in a way. And so, yeah, we really tried from the start to make the Discord like a lively place where people want to come and just have fun, right? So, for example, we have a DJ session almost every day. It's run by Dre. And yeah, every day there's going to be music. I think it like 2 hour session every day. Then we also have trivia events. We have another event called Guess the Song. So it's like, you know, we're putting song and you have to guess for it. It's not always for whitelist or stuff like that. Sometimes it's just for fun, you know. And so, and yeah, I think that's the first thing. And also we have a team of people, and I'm talking, you know, the whole team. So there are us, you know, the three founders, but also the mods who are just available, like most of the time. You know, we are always interacting on the Discord and in the chats. You know, you can look at the history for me, Reno, and the others, and yeah, we just send like a ton of message on this, and yeah, and just trying to interact as much as we can, basically, with our community all the time. The founding team is working full time on this project, so we have the time also to do this, which is not always the case. You know, I know a lot of people who are building projects. They also have jobs, fiat jobs on the side, so it's difficult for them to do this. But we can, because yeah, we are full time on this. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I think that's a great point, that the customer service, essentially being able to answer questions or to create engagement, it's a huge component of being able to build community and get members to come back and check in and see how you're doing and saying good morning and all that stuff. But it does take a lot of time, like you're saying.
Yeah. And also on Twitter, we have you know, we basically have a kind of engagement campaign from our side. Basically, we comment, you know, if you make a reply on one of our tweets, we're going to comment on it. We also, you know, like to just engage with other people on Twitter on other projects. We don't, you know, it's not about shilling the project, but we just make, you know, funny comment, and we just basically showing that, you know, we are here, you know, we are here all the time. And yeah, and it takes time though. It takes a lot of time. But it's definitely worth it, and I think yeah, as a project, you just have to do it. You know, it's a must.
Yep, got it. So, anybody in the listeners have any questions? If you do, please request, and we'll bring you up. If not, we'll start closing down here as we're getting close to an hour. We can start with Monster DAO. Any last thoughts? Anything that you want to point the listeners towards to?
Yeah, so actually, I want to continue with a question that you asked to BeastDragon about, like, what to look into NFT projects. So besides doing your own research, as also BeastDragon said, the team that is behind is really important. So so for example, if you see that it's that behind an NFT project, it's like an artist that it's very known on the space that has been done some other projects, for example, that's like a good sign, right? Or if you see that the team is really active and you see like a lot of updates on part of the team, so those are some sort of good signs, right? But also a few things that I would like to look when I like to look when I'm looking on an NFT project, it's basically the community, like if it's really engaged, if what's like the community is like building something on like for the NFT project, is the community active? It's how is that engagement, right? So yeah, and also one more thing, it's like the utility. We have like a lot of projects right now, a lot of NFT projects. And utility, it's really important because you need to differentiate, right, from all those NFT projects. So yeah, also look at that side of things when looking at an NFT project, like what this NFT project brings to the table, right? A part of being a PFP. So that's really interesting to see. So yeah, those are my two cents.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you for that. Beach Dragon, any final thoughts from your end?
My final thoughts are really just that we currently have Faction Wars. It's still open. You can grab a talisman. You can come and join us. You know, there are four factions. There's lore. There's a whole like history of how we as humans and the dragons got to Mars. So if you're looking to join, you know, a play to earn game experience on Terra right now, that is the Faction Wars. It's available to everyone, open to everyone. Anyone can join. So I would really just encourage you to check out all the things that are available to you in the Terra ecosystem. Obviously, I think, you know, one of the greatest things that's available is Lavanna. And I hope that we'll see you in our Discord and in the game.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
One more thing that I would like to also invite all the people that it's interesting in MonsterDAO to join our Discord as well, or start following us on Twitter, since we share research on NFTs and DAOs all the time there. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. You guys have been putting out some recent tweets with a lot of research, so a lot of good information. MetaBuilder, any last thoughts from your end?
Yeah, I mean, join the fun, you know. We're going to be minting in 2 days on One Planet. And by the way, thanks to One Planet for all the support that you've been showing towards us. I mean, the service has been really like the best, you know. And so thanks a lot for that. But no, besides that, just, you know, join the Discord, get to know us, ask questions in general. I haven't talked about it, but also the project has a lot of utilities. It wasn't the focus of this talk today, but, you know, go on Discord and ask questions. And also on the website, you will find all the utilities for our project. And yeah, thanks a lot for your time. And that's it.
Yeah, well, with your project minting in 2 days, I think you can share a little bit about your utility for the listeners here in case they're looking to mint.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I think I already said it earlier, but all the designs from the Voxa will be usable in the metaverse because they all come in 3D, and also they are fully rigged. It's something that, you know, people kind of forget about it, but actually getting your design rigged takes a lot of time. And also you really need to have a professional 3D designer. And so it's something that we already have. So that will be the first thing. We are already collaborating with a lot of different metaverses within the Terra ecosystem, but also our NFT and our design will be usable also in the sandbox metaverse. And so our partners in the Terra ecosystem, well, we have Looney, Astro Heroes. Today we tweeted about our future collaboration, and then also Lunaverse. So yeah, so that's going to be the first utility. The second one, we're going to be building Meta Builder Business Club. And our goal with this club is to educate people on NFTs and also everything that is metaverse related. So basically, we're going to be hiring quite a lot of people after Mint because, again, the team right now is too small. You know, we are only three people plus the mod. And so a big part of the money that that's going to be generated with the Mint are going to be invested with the hiring, you know, hiring people. And also there's going to be a lot of utilities that's going to be revealed in the coming days.
All right. Got it. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And once again, thank you, Reno, Alexel, and Beach Dragon for joining us here today for another roundtable. And just as a reminder to the listeners, Metal Builders will be launching with us on the 27th. And we currently have Department 77 with their Mono collection live on the launch pad, and also MLB packs from Playable if you guys are interested in fantasy sports. And I wanted to say thank you to the listeners as well for spending your time here with us. And with that, we'll catch you guys on the next space that we do. We actually, just to sum off for you guys, we're going to be doing a Twitter space with Derby Stars and Danku tomorrow, and then another roundtable at the end of the week on Friday with a couple of NFT projects. So if you guys want to learn more about what's going on with Derby Stars and their upcoming mint, stay tuned. We'll release some more information later on today. Again, thank you guys for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the roundtable number 12, hosted by One Planet, recorded on Monday, April 25th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay, checking that replay. Sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent each time listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. They're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music. Spaces.